Thank you so much for coming back to listen to another episode of the Whole Person Podcast. I am your host, Evan Herman, and today we're talking about the fundamental process of making good decisions. And how do I start my journey in the decision-making process? A lot of us have had habits that have dictated the choices and the results of our life, but how do I break bad habits? How do I change the mental programming that I've had throughout my entire life to now make better decisions? And so in this episode, we are going to talk about how to do just that, but we're doing it from an end result backwards, which means that in order for you to truly know the fundamental process, you're actually going to have to listen to the whole episode, because we're going to end with the beginning steps of making a good decision. You're not going to want to miss this episode. And welcome to the show, Branch Isolay. How are you doing?
Good morning, Evan. Thanks for inviting me. It's great to be here. I've been looking forward to our time together.
Well, great. I'm so glad that you're here, because this is a topic that is kind of been on the forefront of my mind for the past few weeks. Because every single decision that we make has a reaction, positive or negative. And a lot of us don't know sometimes which choices to make. So how do we come into a greater understanding of what the consequences, both positively or negative, will be when we approach trying to make a decision?
Yeah, great question. I love that you said, sometimes we don't know which choices to make. That's very true. But there's a group of people for whom that's not true. And that's the Christian who has a grounded relationship with Jesus Christ. And let me explain what I mean. You know, we each come into this world as a creation of God for believers. And because God is spirit, then we are also spirit. So we have a spiritual connection with him. From, you know, the first time, our first breath, from our first day as a human, we have that spiritual connection. And because we have that connection, and we don't realize this until later on in life, but we actually possess the answer to every situation that we might get ourselves into. Now, what do I mean by that? Innately, because we have that spiritual connection with the Lord, we also have, you know, the answers to life. And so we have the answers to life's problems. What happens, though, because we're human and because we live in a physical and a human world, which is dictated by the ways of the world, that's what we come to know. And that's what we become comfortable with. So whenever we have to make a choice or decision, what happens is we innately inside, in our deepest core, already know what the best choice for us is. But because we've grown up in the world and we're part of the world and we embrace the world, what happens is we go into this conversation with ourselves as to, well, what's the best choice for me to make? And because we become who we are from childhood, from toddler stage, we often and most often choose the world's way, even if in our core, in our conscience and subconscious, we know that the outcome is not in our best interest. Our human response is to make that choice of, what's in it for me? And so that's what happens. We get into this cycle of, we need to make a choice. We need to make a decision. What's going to be best for me? And our first instinct is to do what I want it to be, you know, what I want the outcome to be. And that's what I convince myself is possible. So that's my choice. And of course, sometimes that works out and we make good choices that are in our best interest, but a lot of times we make inappropriate choices and the consequence of that keeps us in that place of struggle. So innately, we already know, but the world has us in its grasp, and our natural first instinct is, well, what's in it for me? You know, it's all, my life is all about me. So what do I need to do to make it happen for me?
Yeah. When we talk about, you know, negative consequences when we make decisions, how does our habits play into our choices? Because we have a lot of unconscious habits that probably play a large percentage into our decision making. So what advice would you give someone to start recognizing the triggers of the habits that makes decisions that they necessarily don't want?
Sure, twofold. The first thing is, you can make a choice in a decision that you have, and you can base your choice or the direction you're going to go on your past experiences, you know, your own past experiences. Let me give an example. If I go to a party and I get overindulged and inebriated, I have three choices to get home. I can drive myself home, I can catch a ride, or I can get a designated driver, say Uber or Lyft or a taxi. Now, because I've been in this situation before and I have driven myself home and arrived home, that's my first instinct. Oh, I did it before, I can do it again. But the reality is, the other two options or the other two outcomes of that are both negative. I drive myself home, I get home. I can drive myself home and be stopped by the police, get a DUI, which can be extremely costly in time and resources. Or there's a possibility that I can get into an accident and cause extreme damage, not only to myself, to somebody else. So when I've got that choice to make, you know, the first thing I can do is reflect on my own past experiences as a guide to making that choice. So that's our first inclination, is to go to that place. The second thing that I can do, if I have that spiritual grounding and I have a relationship with the Lord, then I have His Spirit living within me. Because I have invited Jesus into my life, He has sent His Spirit of Truth, or His Holy Spirit, to be my counselor, my advocate, my instructor, my teacher. And so when I have to make that decision, if I'm living with the Lord in my life actively, then His Spirit comes to me and helps guide me and reminds me that the negative choice of me driving myself home is very costly, and therefore I should get a ride with somebody else. So it's a real simple process, but it's one that we often overlook.
Okay. I love the direction that we're going, because to take it one step further, it's essentially being led by the Holy Spirit to make decisions. Then the next question then becomes, how do we recognize when the Holy Spirit is talking to us? I got a short story here. I don't know if you remember this. It was back in 2012. There was a plane crash with five Oral Roberts University students on it, and four of them died. Do you remember that? It was major news. I went to school with them. Two of them were some of my best friends. The pilot was in my wedding, and another guy on the plane was my roommate in college. I know for a fact that there were multiple things that came up that, had they been a little bit more sensitive to the Holy Spirit, they would have realized we shouldn't take this trip. Now, what happened with the plane crash, the plane caught on fire because of an electrical issue while they were flying, and that's what ended up causing the wreck. But my friend, who was the pilot, his girlfriend said, "Hey, I don't feel like you're supposed to go on this trip." One of the fiancés of one of the guys that went, her dad was a pastor, and her dad said, "Hey, you can't go on this trip. I don't have a good feeling." The plane was grounded by the owner for some stuff that my friend kind of lied about. And as a consequence, he wasn't allowed to fly the plane. But because it was for ministry purposes, it's like, all right, well, we'll let you go. And then another guy, his father said, "Hey, don't go on this trip. I don't have a good feeling." So I know of four instances. How does someone become sensitive to the Holy Spirit to recognize that, hey, this is the Holy Spirit and I need to be attentive. Because I'll tell you what, when that happened, I very quickly decided to become far more in tune with the leading of the Holy Spirit to make decisions, because I did not want my life to end because I missed it.
Yeah, what you've described is an interesting situation, because when we have the Holy Spirit within us, He is always present and always talking to us, right? But we don't know when we will take our last breath or under what circumstances. And a lot of times, you know, we have premonitions, and that's simply a personal choice. Am I going to do this, or do I have an odd or weird feeling about it? And we make that choice, whatever it may be, to go or not to go. The importance of what you've just described to me, I think, is that the importance of having that relationship, so that no matter when you take your last breath, you will be, and your spirit is covered by the blood of Christ. You know, we never know when our last day is going to be or how that's going to come about. And that knowledge is great to have, I guess, unless, you know, it scares you to death. But the important part of having
either way,
that
you're dead,
relationship,
right?
is that no matter when that happens or how it happens, you know, you're covered. And that's the whole point of having a relationship with God through Jesus
right.
Christ, because that ensures that when that moment comes, you know, you have a destiny, and that destiny has already been paid for and ransomed. So you don't have to have that fear of death, regardless of when it may come.
Just talking about death in this scenario, I mean, that's the extreme example of being led by the Holy Spirit and missing it. But I'm talking about even in the day-to-day stuff where, you know, I mean, for example, you know, take that extra set of keys with you, you know, and you're like, oh, I don't need two pairs of keys. I'm just going to go out the door. And it just so happens that you accidentally locked one of the car keys into the car, and now you have no way of getting in. But if you had that extra set, you might have had it with you. You don't have to call a locksmith. You know, I've had that happen. I've had small things where I recognized only after the fact that it was the Holy Spirit, and it would have helped me avoid some problem or issue. But for me, what I did is I then turned around and used those experiences as ways to then in the future acknowledge the Holy Spirit. So when I had that inkling to like, hey, you know what? You need to take your pocket knife today. Like, why would I rarely carry a pocket knife? And then it just so happened that I came across something that I needed to cut, and I had the pocket knife. How do we get into those moments where even in small ways, we are sensitive to the Holy Spirit, that He's wanting to, I don't want to say interfere, but like, hey, I want you to do something different. I'm trying to lead you a different way here, and it's going to help you.
You have to have that relationship. You have to be in that place where you are cognizant that you have His spiritual strength within you, and that when that conversation between you and yourself or you and Him is taking place, that you are going to heed or pay attention to, you know, what that feeling is, what that inclination is, what that spirit tells you. And the way you get there is by walking the path with Jesus Christ. It's that simple. The further down that path you go, the more you will recognize Him actively in your life through His Spirit. And the more, just like you said, whether it's the knife or the keys or any other small thing, if you recognize that, every time you recognize the Lord through His Spirit, God the Father smiles, because you are being an obedient child of His. God is like a loving parent. He only wants what's in our best interest. And that's why as we go through our daily life and His Spirit is active in our daily life with us, those little thoughts or those little, you know, inclinations come to us. So you take your extra set of keys, you take your knife. Nothing may happen where you need them, but when it does, you go, okay, thank you, Lord, you know, for, you know, helping me out in this situation. The more you go down that path and get closer to Him, the more you recognize those large and small instances in your daily life where He is active. That's what faith is all about. You're seeing your faith in action, and you're being rewarded or blessed in the most insignificant way, but at that moment, it really helped. And this is the whole point of the path with the Lord, is the closer you get to Him, the more you walk towards Him, the more you see His actions in your life. And in recognizing those actions, you're acknowledging your relationship with Him and through Him with God. And God is a smiling, happy, loving parent. It's that simple. What happens is we want to resist that relationship because, you know, I'm the one that's in control of my life and nobody's going to tell me what to do. And yeah, God may be there, but He's just invisible. And you know, He's just what these people try and tell me about. Well, if you're in that place, you don't have the Spirit active in your life, and you're going to hit situations where you forgot that set of keys or you didn't have your knife on you. You know, if you're going to live in the world and embrace the world, then you're going to struggle with the world's ways. If you're going to live in the world and embrace the Lord, then He's going to be there with you when you're struggling. And it's that simple. You're either a believer or you're not. And in either case, when you make choices, they're going to have consequences. That responsibility is yours.
You know, as we're talking about, we're kind of almost working this scenario backwards where, you know, we talk about how to make good choices, but it all stems out of having a foundational relationship with God and Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit. So what we're talking about is having a relationship with the Lord where all things kind of stem out of. You know, Matthew 6:33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and then all these things shall be added unto you, which ironically is also the scripture of the day. But the scripture that I was thinking about is Zechariah 4, where this is what it says. I asked the angel who talked to me, what are these, my Lord? He answered, do you not know what these are? No, my Lord, I replied. And he said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by power nor by might, but by my Spirit, says the Lord Almighty. And when I think about that in decision-making, I can't tell you how many times in my own life I've tried to power through a situation where when I finally sat back and I relaxed and said, God, what is your Spirit telling me to do? Did I actually then begin to have clear direction? You know, a couple of weeks ago, I was going to Miami for a speak-off competition and some training, and my wallet got lost the night before I was supposed to go. And I cleaned the whole house. I couldn't find it. And I mean, I'm taking action upon action. I'm asking my son, I'm asking my mom, you know, have you seen this? You know, my wife. And, you know, my son's like, oh yeah, baby brother, put your wallet on the floor. And I'm like, why would he put it on the floor? Well, it turns out my son was lying. He didn't want to get in trouble. He's the one that put it on the floor, but no one knew where it was. And after hours of intense frustration, I just finally sat back and I said, God, where's my wallet? And almost instantly, I felt Him say, under the stairs. Well, we can't really get under the stairs where I'm at. So I went to the side of the stairs where we have this long entry table. And it's very hard for anything to get under there, but my wallet was under there. Like one of my kids hid my wallet or kicked it accidentally and it slid under there. And that's exactly where it was, but it was because I'd been led by the Spirit. And do you know who Brother Lawrence is, the monk from like France?
I don't think so.
He wrote a compilation of letters to people that ended up getting compiled into a book called, so Brother Lawrence wrote this book called Practicing the Presence of God. And it's a story of how he went from being a soldier who was wounded. He had no skills, so he joined a monastery. He first became the money changer. The accountant was no good at math. He then got downgraded to the cook, was no good at cooking. He got downgraded to the grocery person to go pick up groceries, but because of his injury in war, he took too long, and people then would get hungry because the cook wouldn't have food. Then he got demoted to a dishwasher. But it wasn't until he got demoted to the dishwasher that he really start experiencing the presence of God with him and Jesus in every aspect of his life through washing dishes. And in this book, it's talking about how to recognize the presence of God in our lives. So as we've kind of started at how do I make good decisions and worked our way all the way back to having a relationship with God through Jesus, through the cross, through the power of the Holy Spirit, then it comes back to the choice aspect is how do I pursue that relationship? Because for a lot of people, it's a struggle at first. How do I just start? How do I not feel condemned? How do I just be present without putting any expectation on myself to be something that I'm not?
Yeah, what you've just elaborated on made me think of four different things. You know, our natural instinct as humans, we've got goals and ambitions and desires. You know, there's things that motivate us in our daily life, in our relationships, either at home or at work. And those desires and those motivations, sometimes we get into that place where, you know, we want it so bad that our action is like trying to put that square peg in a round hole. And the more we try to force it, the more resistance we encounter, you know, and you can get to that place of frustration and then anger and then all outright mad, you know, and your actions get more and more intense or more and more violent in their exposure and their expression. And that square peg is just not going to go into that round hole. The second thing you mentioned in your story was about, you know, the wallet. And so oftentimes, when we choose to do something and it's not what we should have done, our first instinct is to make an excuse or blame someone else for what we've done. You know, this inability to take responsibility is hamstring so many people, especially in the age that we live in. You know, it's very easy to blame someone else for our own inadequacies. And all that does is dig that hole deeper, right? At some point, we all see in our lives, whether you have a relationship with the Lord or not, the truth comes out. I don't care how many years it may take. And we've seen this recently with a number of people, prominent people, you know, who sort of have been above the fray. And finally, the light of truth is shined upon them. And, you know, if that happens, the truth is going to come to the forefront at some point. So you can either say, you know, I was playing with your wallet and it accidentally, or I kicked it under the vanity. You know, I'm sorry, let's get it out. And you as a parent, right, you go, okay, well, let's fish it out and then get going. But that blame, that human instinct for us to place blame elsewhere so often gets us and keeps us in that hole, in that precarious hole of trouble.
Isn't that one of the original sins? With Adam, you placed the blame on Eve.
Exactly.
Or it was this woman that you gave me.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, you know, so many of us, and that's the other thing I want to say, everyone who is now walking the path, who now has a relationship with Jesus, at one point in their life did not. And that's why it's easy for us who are on the path to recognize the struggles, you know, of the people who are not on the path, because we were once there. We know what you're going through. We understand, you know, the guilt and the shame and the embarrassment. We understand that everyone makes mistakes. But unless you're going to take responsibility for your actions, you know, there's no relief. And so many people who are now on the path with Christ, when they weren't, you know, it took hitting rock bottom, right? Everyone who struggles with addictions of any type, who struggles with abuse of any type, you know, when you hit rock bottom, you finally decide, I've got to change my life. So how am I going to do it? And a lot of people turn to God, whether, you know, it's Jesus or Allah or Buddha, they turn to their God for relief. And if you don't have that relationship, then you can't expect anything from your God. If you have a living relationship with him or her, whatever your belief may be, then you can expect some kind of response.
Yeah. And I want to interject something here real quick, because I know that you're a Christian. And for those that are listening, like, you know, people turn to their God. Yes. But there is only one living God. So in order to have a living relationship, you have to serve the one who is living. So I just wanted to throw that in there real quick.
Yeah. No, that's, yeah. As Christians, we have a relationship with God through Christ. Other religions have a relationship with God through their master teacher or their mediator. But because, as a Christian, we believe Jesus is the manifestation in human form of God in spirit, you know, that's what sets him above any other religious master. No religious master, not Muhammad, not Buddha, not Vishnu, not Krishna, none of those people ever claim to be the Son of God. And that's truly what sets them apart from Jesus Christ. Jesus is the only one who declared himself the Son of God, who was declared the Son of God by God, and was recognized as the Son of God by his disciples, apostles, and followers. And history has shown and proved for the believer that he was that person. He was the Christ, the Messiah. If you're on a different path, then you may recognize Jesus as a master teacher, but not as the Son of God. And that's the fundamental difference between all religions, is that pinnacle of the role, the redemptive role of Jesus as the Christ, as the Messiah. But there's a lot of people in this world who are not Christians, you know, who are on a spiritual path or a religious path and recognize a God or gods and have that full-blown relationship with them. But there's only one God and his Son that has the power to help you and relieve, you know, and protect, get you out of those situations. But in return, we have to continue to walk that path. We have to be, if we're going to be Christians, then we need to be Christ-like. And that means that we recognize God first and most, and we treat others the way we want to be treated, right? That's the fundamental of everything that Jesus is trying to teach us. And if we are going to be Christians and be Christ-like, that we need to emulate the thoughts and the words and the deeds of Jesus. And if we do that, then we will see the blessings and the rewards and the protection that he promises. You know, other people choose to believe and walk the path they want to walk. I have nothing against that. But for the Christian, you know, if you're going to be a Christian, then act like a Christian, you know. If you're going to not say that Jesus doesn't exist or he's just a teacher, if you're going to declare Allah as God, then behave like Allah would behave.
So if you want to make a fundamental change in your life from the direction that you're going, a habit, a pattern, a destructive issue, what you're saying is that we can make changes by embracing the cross.
Exactly. You know, God is so loving. He gave us a brain that operates like a supercomputer, right? I read an article the other day that said the average person has 60,000 thoughts every day. That means that in our daily life, we can change our focus literally at the speed of thought. Now, I can drive down the street and control my car and at the same time have the radio on and at the same time be watching what's going on around me and at the same time be thinking about something, you know, from work or from home. But the reality is, in all of those things that are happening, my focus can only be on a single thought. And that's the power of thought. If you change your thought, here's what happens. Thoughts become actions. Actions become habits. Habits become character. And your character determines your destiny. If you want to change your life and change your destiny, it begins back at changing your thoughts.
Yeah.
If you're in a situation where you're being tempted or tested or challenged by something and you're grappling with it, simply by refocusing your thoughts, you can change the outcome. And once you change that outcome, you can change what happens in the rest of your life. That's the power of thought. The key to having the relationship with God through Jesus Christ is when you are changing that thought, simply by including Him, you can have His spiritual strength to help you accomplish that change.
Yeah, absolutely. Before we end the show, tell people how they can connect with you.
Sure. Thanks for asking, Evan. Real simple. I've got a website. I've got a YouTube channel. All my books, all my articles, all my podcast spots are there. Everything's under my name, Branchy Soleil. So if you just put that into search engine or Google it, it will give you all the links. For those people who want to go a little bit deeper in what we've been talking about, there's a link on my website under podcast, which will give you some core sure notes about, you know, this topic and some others that I do in most of my podcasts. So there's a lot of information there. I invite anybody to check it out. We've also got a way for you to contact us if you have comments or questions right there on the Meet the Author page.
Do you feel stuck in your life? Do you feel that you don't know your gifts and your talents? You feel like your past is somewhat holding you back? Well, I have a coaching program called Your One Degree. Well, we help you find the skills that drive your life and that give you energy. And we also identify the things that also drag you down so you know how to stay away from them. We help you rewrite your past and the stories and the lies that you've told yourself so that you can break through the things that are holding you back and stuck. We find the truths and we find the nuggets and life lessons throughout your life that help us indicate what are good potential possibilities in your future. And then we also help you locate your skills and abilities in people that you're called to serve. If this is a coaching program that you would seem interested in, I want to help you because I've been there myself and I want you to break free from feeling stuck in life. Go ahead and reach out to us, Evan at evanherman.com, E-V-A-N at E-V-A-N-H-E-R-R-M-A-N.com for the program, Your One Degree. Thank you so much. And back to the show.
Do me a favor. If you've enjoyed what you've heard today or it's helped you or given you some things to think about, go to wherever you got this podcast. Give Evan a great rating and a review so he can keep bringing on people who are interested in helping you grow and have a better life.
Well, I appreciate that very much, Branch. Thank you. The last three questions I want to ask you, Branch. What's the best decision you've ever made?
Oh, without a doubt. Get that relationship started with Jesus. And I didn't do it until midlife. I had a whole nother life before I ever got on that path. But I can tell you the first 40 years of my life, the results were great in the world's eyes, but not so great in my own eyes. And the last 40 years have been exactly the opposite since I got regrounded with Jesus. That's the best decision I ever made.
What brings you peace?
Oh, again, you know, there's nothing that will fill your heart like a relationship with the Lord. The Bible tells us, you know, that relationship will give you the peace that transcends everything else. There's nothing of the world that will fill that void. A relationship with the Lord will change your life.
Last question. What lie in negative self-talk are you currently struggling with?
The lie that I can do a little bit more if I do it a different way, if I embrace that world's way to reach out to more people. I know in my heart that's not true, because that's not what the Lord would have me do. But I'm human. And, you know, that conversation in my head goes back and forth. Even though I'm walking, you know, a path that keeps rewarding me, there's instances in my daily life that I think, if I just do this, you know, it's sort of a shortcut I can take. But then I know I've been down that road before, and I remember what those outcomes were. And so it's not worth the time and energy. You know, I have found that you grow when you reduce the time between the thought and the action. And if you can reduce that time between the thought to the positive outcome action, then you don't have that time in there to, oh, maybe if I do it this way, or maybe if I do it that way, that's that square peg round hole scenario again. And that never works.
Yeah. Branch, thank you so much for coming on to the show today. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure, and good luck next week.
Have a good day.